Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in for Greg Lancaster today, and joining with me in the extra hour is the one and only Pat Hamilton.
Hello,
Pat. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I'm not even going to go there right now. But what I want to say is that we've had a wonderful time in the first hour, and we're talking about the RFID chip that is now available in major credit cards as well as debit cards. These are radio frequency identification chips that can be easily picked up with simple technology that you can purchase on the internet. And this can get into the wrong hands of people that can steal your credit card information. We're talking about the beast economy. But with that, you know, we also talked about this yesterday, that students now with the same technology, Pat, students are being electronically tracked. Now think about this. You're sending your kids to school, and because they have an ID now with an RFID chip, they're being electronically tracked to know where their whereabouts. And you think, well, why in the world would we invest? This is in San Antonio, Texas. Why would they invest in chips to put in a child's ID? Well, Pat, it always goes back to the money.
Oh, yeah.
Well, their funding is based upon attendance. So, hey, the best way that we can encourage attendance is not, you know, getting involved with the parents and getting involved with the student and talking about how important education is. And if you don't attend, how can you learn? And if you don't learn, how can you pass to the next grade and get the information you need so you can be equipped and educated and productive? We're not going to have that conversation. You know, I don't know. Maybe they had that conversation. But what we're going to make sure is that we put a chip on you. So we could just track you wherever you're going to go.
Wow.
I mean, come on. I mean, has it really gotten to this point? I mean, this you're seeing it. You're seeing it. You're seeing it. And it's a new normal that's trying to be established. And if you don't recognize that the water's getting hot in this pot here, you're never going to jump out. So when you see, they're saying that with these chips and the credit cards, that they've been released. And I think they said now it's about a third of all credit card users actually have this new credit card with the chip, and that they are transitioning so that every card would have it. There is an opportunity, however, for you to opt out of that. You want to make sure, you want to be aware, because you don't want to fall a victim to this, okay? And you want to be aware of what is happening in this emerging economy that's coming to place. But I also want to encourage you and send you some hope. You know, the economy has been tough, and it's about to get even tougher. It's prophetically, and what God has shared with us and with others, that we're even headed for even some more serious times, more challenging times. And I want to encourage you through God's word. You know, I was abiding, and I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 18. And when I was reading, it's amazing, you know. It's totally amazing. In the midst of what was going on at this time, Pat, you know, King Ahab was the king in this time of Israel, and they were in the midst of a great drought and famine. There's nothing like drought and famine. So there was no water, there's no food, and at the same time, you know, Ahab was an evil king. He just did not honor God, and on top of that, he was married to a woman named Jezebel, was the queen, and she was pretty wicked herself. you know, and some would say even more so.
Yeah.
And what she was doing in the time of this drought and great famine in Israel, this queen, Jezebel, was actually killing the Lord's prophets.
Wow.
She was killing them off. But then there was this man, this man named Obadiah. And I was so greatly encouraged about Obadiah because Obadiah was a godly man who was in charge of the king's palace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all of you that God has strategically placed in a place of employment, maybe in government, maybe in a place of influence, and you think that, you know what, I'm not sure about the authority, I'm not sure about what's going on. Let me tell you, for such a time as this, maybe God's got you in that place for a key moment in time.
Mm.
You know, I truly believe that, because look, here's Obadiah, a godly man,
mm-hmm.
in the midst of, you know, the king who is totally not following any of God's laws and decrees or his ways. His wife, the queen, is killing, literally killing the Lord's prophets. And in the midst of the great famine and drought, and all this happens, Obadiah was able to save 100 of the Lord's prophets.
Wow.
He was able to rescue them from being killed, but not only rescuing them, but he hid them in two caves, 50 in each one, and he also made sure that they were fed. You got to think about this. I mean, in chapter 18, Obadiah is walking with the king, and they're looking to see where they can find some land so that the horses can graze. He says, hopefully we won't have to kill them.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to find food for horses, and people are not eating. And yet, during this great drought, the Lord's prophets were being fed. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that if you're facing a famine, if you're facing a situation in your life, where this is drought, that it seems things are just have dried up for you, and you are a believer. I mean, you're not one in name. You're not one because you maybe prayed some time ago and you don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know of him. It's very important because, you know, so many people today just say, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm it's like, really? Like American, Chevrolet, apple pie, you know, I'm a Christian.
Right.
Don't you see my cross? It was like, everybody wears crosses. You know what I'm saying? Even the rapper who cursed his name out 10 times wears a cross. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. what? This is not a fashion statement. It's really important these days that we know, that you know if you're God's.
Mm-hmm.
He says, many, you will say on that last day, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do all these miracles? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I mean, it's not enough just for you to know God, but does he know you? You know what I'm saying? Does he, right. Do you have intimate relationship with God? Do you commune with him? Do you have relationship? Because God's people, these are God's people, those that walk with him, those that obey him, those that were content just to make him Savior, but were made him Savior and Lord.
Right.
That means he is the boss of my life. That means that I surrender my will to his will. That means that the buck stops with him. Whatever he says is what we're going to do. It's about his values, not my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so those that are God's, those that are fully given their heart to the Lord, let me tell you something. There's no fear there. Because if you're participating in God's kingdom finances, if you're participating in God's economy, if you're not robbing the Lord in the tithes and the offerings, let me tell you something. There's a Goshen for you. There is a place of provision for you. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy of this world, so to speak, because if you belong to God, let me tell you something. Just like Obadiah was able to feed the Lord's prophets, let me tell you something. God's going to be able to take care of you. God will raise up a Joseph. God will raise up provision for you if you belong to him and you're faithful with what the Lord has given you. I mean, this is so important because, you know, I've seen and I've heard, you know, believers make great demands and expectations of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but are you even serving him? Or are you even living for him? We can't seek God's hand. We got to seek his face.
That's right.
And if we seek his face and we have a relationship with him, God just takes care of the rest. He says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you as well. But the first charge is to seek his kingdom. When you seek this kingdom, you're seeking the king. So I want to encourage you, this economy is going to take some twists and some bumps and some turns, and it's going to go spiraling down unless the church repents.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you can start today. You can start today and say, you know what? You know, if you're not sure if you know him, that's called the clue. Mm. I mean, you can be sure. You can be sure. And you can accept him into your life. You can make him the Lord of your life. Don't settle for a religious idea because you grew up in church maybe, or you've heard the stories, you prayed a couple times, you know, and your family knows. Do you know everyone's going to stand alone? And there's nothing like being in a time of trouble. It's nothing like being in a time of calamity. It's nothing like suffering, you know, and then at that time trying to evaluate your walk with God. It's not a good place to be.
Right.
It's not. You can do that now on this side of what's coming and not wait on what is coming.
Right.
So I want to encourage you, make him the Lord of your life. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, what is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in and died. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. That all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. Man, I love that melody, Pat. I'll tell you what.
Good stuff, huh?
That's pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, we are coming close to the end of the extra hour, and we want to make sure that we shared with you some really just amazing word today that we previously aired on one of our programs. And it was, it's called Who Does God Love? Who Does God Love? And it's so important, you know, that we sometimes revisit some of these treasures because, you know, I've said it before. I'm not the sharpest knife in the stack, you know, Pat, you know, and I myself need to hear things, you know, sometimes several times just so that I can get it. Cause remember, we're not trying to get information, right?
That's right.
It's not about just like learning more, but it's about getting a revelation. Mm-hmm. It's the revealing of God's word. And love is such an important thing, because once we understand who does God love, that really changes our whole paradigm on how we relate to others, how we connect with others, mm-hmm. you know, people that are not like us. Isn't it amazing how easy it is to love someone who's just like you? or someone, someone, let's say, that you have in common with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone maybe just doesn't, you know, like you in the way that I mean that.
Or somebody you really like.
Right, but someone doesn't challenge you. You know yeah. what I'm saying? I mean, it's easy if they like, you know, if you like the same things and you talk about the same stuff, it's like, well, it's easy to like that person because there aren't any differences. There's not something that's going to cause me to maybe have to die to my desire, my opinions, or, you know, what have you.
Right.
But when people tend to be different, it's amazing how it's like, well, I'm not sure about that, you know? And God loves everybody. Mm-hmm. God loves every person on the face of the earth. And by having that type of revelation, he loves the sinner and he loves the unsaved. You know, some of the things that I've heard people say have been just so ugly about other people that they don't have a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. If you have a relationship with God today, it's not because of your greatness and how wonderful you are. You know, you just actually had the opportunity to respond to God's love and call. You know, you got in just by the grace of God, not because you're anyone special, if you will, not because, you know, you earned it, but it's free because of God's grace. So we're not in a position, I'm certainly not in a position, to be judging or looking down at anybody, because you know what? That person is made in the image of God, no matter their race, no matter their socioeconomic background, no matter their religion, no matter their sin, you know, you can't put measurements on people and say, oh, I don't know about that. Right. You think about it. God, every person that's walked the face of the earth, God has loved them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't love God back, but that didn't change whether God loved them. I want you to listen to this segment. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we get back. But I wanted to let it sink down deep. And we need to get this revelation, because we are supposed to be, right? That's channels right. of love, right? The greatest right. commandment, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others. Listen up.
I want to talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, the time, of course, moves quickly as we are speaking, but this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold, because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down. And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid from the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus is what Jesus says. You know, and so in this in one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing this kind of laid down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit. And a religious spirit hears things differently, and they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is, but then God's perspective of that, or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about, and it's so important to know the answer to this question, because it'll change how you handle everything. How you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, this is the question. The question is, who does God love? Who does God love? When you think about that, that's such an important question, because when you look around, you start, everybody, you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, I'm going to be talking about is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, they're saying, that's what they're saying. They're saying, God loves me. God loves me, you know, and then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you. Mm-hmm. And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently, people of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It's totally different. You got to get this because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it because if we don't get past this, that revelation is that you go around trying to be good and you aren't. And so you're constantly defeated and everybody thinks you're good. And so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good? When they called him good teacher, the only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God. You know, and that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy is the question and the answer to the question, who does God love? Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. God loves mankind. Mm-hmm. That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see and people that you're seeing now, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them. Mm-hmm. Which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, while we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you. Mm-hmm. Not madly. I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, well, and a sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands. And God says, this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin. Mm-hmm. And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word. Mm-hmm. God loves that man. Mm-hmm. God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner, you have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person instead of a message person that's delivering God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who is sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hey. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help. You just made them seem like they're hated by God. The truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God... Wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, you know, and right. Leave your religion and get into a relationship with the God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman. And he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means.
Mm.
It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country,
mm-hmm.
It'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now. Because religion said that God loves this person, but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims. God loves Hindus. God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people religious. Who have a different, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. They're human beings created right. In the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct because we are not, why should we even have this country as Christians? Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God. God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent fathers' children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, and who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime. It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the presidents, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same. Mm-hmm. It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom. It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes and those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly. Mm-hmm. It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in chapter 5, 43 through 44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself. Mm-hmm. When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves. For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive. Mm-hmm. How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God when we're hating the one he loves? It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much, every one of us, that he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much, and there was an issue between, there was a distance between you. There was something, there was this chasm between you and the one that loves you, and it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son whom he loved to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. There's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with, but it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them, because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school, that you've been surveyed, and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that God hates you. That's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. Mm. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him, that separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much, he gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you. And he will forgive you. And he'll restore the years the locusts had devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you. Because Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John I mean, John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it. Mm. In the letter he's writing to the church, he says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we've got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. You know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness, and gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and you were just listening. You were just listening to Who Does God Love? Joining me with me in the studio is Pat Hamilton. And it's so important because, you know, Pat, if you don't settle this issue about who does God love, you're gonna be pretty. You're gonna be pretty disturbed. One, and if you're a child of God, you're gonna be sending out the wrong message from the Father.
Right.
And that's very, very, very important.
Right.
And the thing too is that the enemy of love is judgment. It's really what we're talking about here, because all of these judgments is like, how did that happen? How is it that you know, one could pick up such judgment so easily? It's like, you know, you passed the test, but why is this gavel falling on everyone else?
Right.
What makes a person feel that comfortable where they could begin to judge a person? And normally this happens, you know, if you have a religious spirit, you start judging sin.
Right.
You know, it's like that sin is worse than this sin. And, I was bad, but I wasn't that bad. It's like, how could that even Hello? How can that even come out?
Mm-hmm.
How can that even be said? You know, we're all sinners before God. You know, we were all lost. Hello?
That's right.
if you have a relationship with them, then you've accepted them as your Lord and Savior. Doesn't make you any better. We've got to get this. And this is so powerful, because once we have this revelation, who does God love? Our ability to relate, our ability to advance the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
How can you preach a message of hope, a message that God can save you and will save if you give your life to him? But if that comes out filtered, like, you know, you're just a wretched, unlovable person, but God's going to give you a break here.
Right.
It's God's kindness that causes us to repent. It's God's goodness that causes us to turn away from our sin and say, God, I want you. So I'm so encouraged. But before we come to the end of our extra hour, I do want to share the wisdom moment. And our wisdom moment we share every day. We like to share every day. And it's to encourage us. We need wisdom. We need to know what God is saying through his word. And wisdom is a proper application of knowledge.
Right.
Today's wisdom is found in Proverbs 17 chapter, verse 9. It says, he who covers an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. How about that? Love.
Very appropriate, huh?
Very appropriate. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You know, you have to make a choice. You got to make a choice. There's two types of people, really. in terms of love. I mean, you're either going to be the type of person that says, or the type of believer, rather, that says, I am just going to cover an offense.
Right.
You know, you're either going to promote offense or you're going to promote love, but you can't promote both.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not at the same time.
Right.
So you're going to determine, I'm going to be one that covers an offense, or I'm going to be one that repeats the matter. And one involves humility, total dependency upon God and respect for other people. And the other one involves pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride will cause you to repeat something that somebody did. It could be offensive. It could have been a sin. It could have been a hurt. But why repeat that? Why put that out again and again? That's only going to sow division.
Right.
And as a believer in the Lord, we must settle in our heart this issue. I'm going to cover or I'm going to uncover. I'm going to be a coverer or I'm going to uncover and expose people's weaknesses. And of course, you know what? It's not like sometimes, you know, a religious spirit will come out and say, and it's not like you're going to come out and say, oh, this person just did this and they did that and they're evil. I mean, that may happen. You may be, you know, blatantly come out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes it's disguised in a religious way where we're just going to pray for Pat.
Yeah.
We're just going to pray for Chris right now. He is, you know, this happened. It's like, are you just gossiping about a brother or a sister?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unless you have any sort of authority by God in that person's life, you really shouldn't be talking about anyone's failures. I mean, what good can come out of that but just stir that up?
Right.
And that's why we need wisdom. If we're operating without wisdom, we're going to be ignorantly doing things that are going to cause damage to the body of Christ and to others. I mean, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. That means these friends were once close. But there's nothing like the digging and the repeating and the bringing up of offenses and of wounds that begins to stir up strife, it begins to stir up hurt, and it begins to bring a wedge between God's people. You know, God doesn't do that to us.
Right.
He says when we were yet sinners, right, he died for us. That he takes our sins and separates them as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't bring it back to our attention. You remember what you did 5 days ago? Remember mm-hmm. what you did yesterday? Remember what you right. did 2 minutes ago? Are you actually trying to worship me today when you know what you did
mm-hmm.
an hour ago?
Right.
God doesn't do that to us, nor should we be involved in doing this to others. I mean, think about it. The great commandment
mm-hmm.
is to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor, right? To love
That's
others.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How can we love someone if we're constantly bringing up their offense? 1 Corinthians 13 says that love keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Peter 4:8 says that above all else, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Let me tell you something. He wouldn't tell us to love deeply unless we necessarily had to. And loving deeply means, you know what, we prefer someone above ourselves. You know, you can break down the word family, F-A-M-I-L-Y,
mm-hmm.
to mean forget about me, I love you.
Oh, cool.
Forget about me, I love you. You know, it's only when we truly exercise and function as family and really let love be at the concrete base, the foundation of our relationship in the Word of God. You know, we're going to treat each other right. We're going to do the right things that God expects of us. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to encourage you to be one that covers an offense. Be one to shield and protect a brother and a sister. Be one that who is more spiritual. Restore that brother or that sister to God and to have a relationship with God. Because this is the time and this is the hour where many will become used by the enemy to accuse even ones in the own family. Make a determination today that you're going to be the one to love. The wisdom moment today is Proverbs 17:9. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.